Thank you for inviting me. One of the things we're discussing here is ending media sexism by 2020. I have some ideas about this. I may not have answers, but I think my experience as a U.S. filmmaker and feminist can help. We just had a shocking election, and it's important to discuss this because our election has connections to gender inequality in our media. One of the results from our 2015 report showed that the global rate of progress towards gender parity in media content has stagnated. This after continuous progress forward. We've stagnated, except for the region of Latin America, and I'll get to that later. And I have to interject a note here. Around 2005, we saw the rise of social media, notably Facebook and Twitter. Now, the 2016 presidential campaign here in the United States cannot be ignored when discussing gender equality in the media. As terrible and ominous as this election was, there are signs of tremendous hope. Donald Trump built a campaign on emotion, sexism, racism, and sexual vulgarities aimed at women and male power. I won't go into details, but I can tell you this interesting story that relates to the work of the Global Media Monitoring Project. Out of all of our cable news networks, there's one that was the most watched in 2016, Fox News. On Fox News, at prime time, was an anchor named Megyn Kelly. She had her own show. Megyn Kelly was a tough questioner of Donald Trump in the debates and in interviews. She was so tough, in fact, that Trump hated her. He picked fights with her, public fights. He called her names and used vulgarities. Was Megyn Kelly too tough? Unfair? No. She was doing her job as a journalist. Trump was ruffled, and he fought back as a bully. He pumped up his followers, the Trump voters, and Megyn Kelly began to get death threats. Fox News hired bodyguards to protect her and her family. After the election in January, it was announced that Megyn Kelly was leaving Fox for NBC. Now, we have many political commentators here, and one of them is David Frum, a Republican who did not vote for Trump. In fact, David Frum was probably called one of the Never Trumpers. He famously appealed to Republicans to vote for Hillary, to do it for the good of the Republic. He knew the dangers of Donald Trump to our democracy. In a recent interview, David Frum discussed the Megyn Kelly event. He described the fight between Trump and Kelly. Actually, it was really Trump's bullying of Kelly. Frum said that Trump, quote, broke them to his will, meaning Trump broke Fox News to his will. David Frum went on to say that the rising star, Megyn Kelly, was pushed out of primetime by Trump. He said, and this is his quote, she had a big show at 9 o'clock, and that has now been replaced by a new face, male this time, all male lineup in prime time. Right after Trump was elected, not by a majority of voters, Megyn Kelly was interviewed about the election. She said, and this is her quote, there are a few themes that came out of 2016, and one of them is, as women, we have a long way to go. A long way to go. There is a tolerance for some considerable level of sexism, and in some corners, let me underscore, I'm not referring to Trump specifically, just what we saw this year, even misogyny. David Frum put the Megyn Kelly event and the election itself, with our first female nominee for president, as two examples that looked as if women would be favored, that looked like women would win. And in both cases, they did not. Now, the United States just dropped from being a full democracy to a flawed democracy. It wasn't the result of this election. We've been on this track for a while. But I looked at the list of full democracies, and what I noted was that of the top 10 full democracies in the world, 7 of them have had female presidents. Now, it's true that most of them are parliamentary systems, but I can't absolve the United States for being so low in ranking on gender equality in politics. It's just not an excuse. And I have to add this here. The report from 2015 showed us that Latin America made the greatest progress compared to other parts of the world. So I Googled Latin America women's rights, and several articles came up, and one of them was called, "Why Does Latin America Have So Many Women Leaders?" Democracy and women's rights go together. On Monday, I read an article online called "An Open Letter Warning About Donald Trump from the Women of Poland to the Women of America." One of its lines was this: "It has also been our experience that when a man who has been elected to represent an entire nation turns his back on women, he quickly goes on to do the same with the media and the courts." Now, we have to note here that Trump repeatedly attacks our media and courts. I contacted one of the writers, her name is Susanna, and I told her that I wanted to quote this letter here today. She wrote back to me and said she was happy that I was mentioning the article because it was published throughout Europe, but it didn't get the traction here in the US, although she thought this was because she didn't have the direct contacts to press here in the United States. And I think that may be true, which brings me to an important point. We need to connect more personally with each other. And this is why I wanted to travel here from Los Angeles to meet you. During the Women's Liberation Movement here in the United States, we changed this country within a 10 to 15 year period. We changed this country dramatically. The Women's Liberation Movement was electric, and it happened without email. It happened because of person-to-person, woman-to-woman communication. Those women, those feminists, traveled. They organized conferences and they became friends. They helped each other. They had a sense of sisterhood. Being with each other face to face is a necessary part of this fight for ending media sexism by 2020. And why is that? I received Susanna's email from a Polish woman I met at the Feminism in London conference. If I had known Susanna already, I could have given the open letter to American women to a New York Times editor, an editor from The Atlantic magazine, and an op-ed editor for the LA Times. Face-to-face connections move us forward. Susanna also introduced me to an online women's newspaper called Who Chooses the News. She created it herself with a grant. It's a site for women in European news organizations to create their own front page. Who Chooses the News will launch this year, and she'd like to pool resources. I'm going to close with a line from the open letter to Women of America from Poland. "It is our unshakable conviction that women's rights are human rights, and a future built on democracy, which means a respect for all human rights, is the only one that we will participate in." Thank you very much.